B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Well, we'll see what we are. The man who covers the Sixers, and we're going to have an excellent interview, a situation with Rich Hoffman for The Athletic. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Rich.
Mike, how we doing?
Good. Well, I don't know. A couple game sevens on Sunday, and there were blowouts. So it can happen that way, right? just the Sixers.
Yeah, it can happen in game six, too, I guess.
Yes, it could happen in game six. All right, so this is what we're looking at today. We're going to try and do an exit interview strategy here. And the way I look at it, that the Sixers right now have four knowns. Now, there's a caveat on two of the knowns, because the knowns are Embiid, Harden, Tobias, Maxey. The caveats are Harden as a known has to reinvent his game, and Tobias might have to be moved so the Sixers can kind of rework this whole situation. Do you agree with that?
Completely agree with that, Mike. And I think you saw in that game six, they had five knowns at least for this season. And one of them got hurt for the first 3 minutes, and we've learned that Danny Green tore his ACL and his LCL. That's a guy who, frankly, like, this team needs, among other things, they need more guys you can trust in a playoff series. And like you said, I don't think Harden is a known for, you know, superstar level, number two option on a great team level. That's certainly something I'm sure we'll kick around in the next few minutes here. But yeah, they did not have as many guys as Miami did who you can trust. You can trust to play on both ends of the court. And so that is, I think that's an accurate summation of what this team is.
All right, so you got to fill a roster here. So that leaves us, so you take Danny Green out of the mix, and unfortunately you have to take him out of the mix. I've got six guys that you have to say, what do I have with these six? And then I got these two young guys on the outskirts, it's Springer and Bassey. So let's go down the list. Thibel, Shake, Korkmaz, Reed, Niang, Joe. What is that to you?
To me, it's, I think, the one positive I would take in this, look, this is dependent on the coach playing them next year. You know, we talk a lot about the backup center situation over the years. Like, I would not get a backup center this offseason. I would give Charles Bassey and Paul Reed every chance to take that spot. And that's been a trouble spot for the Sixers. But when you have two guys who look like they're competent young players, you see, like, it's a minimal part. It doesn't have to be an Achilles heel if you have some competency. So that's that part. And then, you know, I wonder if I'm a little too much on the recency bias, but frankly, among that group, the guy who showed up the most in these last few games, the guy who looked like he has a chance to be, you know, a Gabe Vincent, a Max Strus, or somebody like that, Shake Milton showed me more than the rest of that group. And to me, he is not as afraid, and he's not as weak on both ends of the court. Like, his weakness is defense, but he's got really long arms. He's like a tough kid. And he had a really tough year with injuries as far as this went. So, you know, if you can get his shot back, it's a good thing. Now, you mentioned Thibel and Niang. Unfortunately, like, I don't think I'd move those. I'm not sure if you can move those guys, you know, what you would be able to get back for them. But right now, those guys are one-way players. And they help you win in the regular season. I think Niang, for what they signed him for, is like, that's a good, solid signing. You need shooting around Embiid. But you saw in the playoffs, you know, Thibel might make an all-defense team. That doesn't matter if you are unplayable on one end of the court. And I think we need to start discussing these guys as such, because there's a couple years' worth of evidence, but that series was a lot of evidence to the fact that you need guys who can show up on both ends of the court.
So you can't move Niang, but can you move Thibel?
He might be able to. I mean, I just wonder if his shot and his the vaccination status and just, but more so just his play, right? Just like the fact that most teams know that he's not going to be playable in the higher stakes rounds of the playoffs. Is it worth it to take another shot to try and, you know, get him with a shooting coach, which is something they've already should have done? Like, I would admit this is a long shot. We've been talking on this show about that for 3 years. I just wonder if he is, you know, if he's like a major trade asset at this point. If he is, then I think you should consider him.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe he was, and maybe now he's not. So
the Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
But they got a, well, I got 2 million years on this, 3 million years on this deal at like three something million, Thibault.
Yeah,
he has 3 more years on his deal. Yeah, I mean that's not much money. 2 more years on his deal. Okay.
No, I think he only has one more, Mike. I think he only has one more. Okay. It's like 4 million. But again, like, you know, if he's not, you could tell him, hey, you know, figure out your shot and, you know, earn your next contract, earn a little more than that, you know, hopefully. So,
yeah.
I think he's put them in a pickle with his play.
All right, Cork Moss.
I don't think you can trust him in that high leverage of a playoff series just because, the idea of having a shooter off the bench, like, I think in general, having an offense first player, especially one, Korkmaz is not a small guy, you know, he's thin. He could maybe, you know, survive in the right matchup defensively, but he just didn't shoot the ball well enough this year. And he lost a lot of confidence as the year went on. And that's, to me, that does not speak very well to him. Now, you know, he's got a couple more years on his contract. They signed him to, you know, 3 years, $5 million. It's not like a huge amount of money. It's something you should be able to move. So maybe you can just pawn him off on a team that's more rebuilding, a team that, you know, maybe he wants to take a flyer. But no, I cannot trust him as a guy in the
So, bringing him back would not be a good look. Because some players, you just, you know, there's just not a good look anymore. Is that the way you feel?
I think moving on from him would be perfectly fine.
Okay. Let's go to Joe. And you tell me what you think they have there.
Yeah, he's almost like the backup quarterback where, you know, he's like the shooter who didn't play. And, you know, those guys are always popular until they play. He didn't make enough shots for my taste this year, Mike. Okay, I think, if you move Korkmaz, he would not be a bad guy to have around. But I'll say this, like, Korkmaz has a little more off the bounce. Like, he's got a little more playmaking than Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe used to be, you know, a 40-plus percent awesome shooter. And he has not been in his limited time. I know a lot of people want Doc Rivers to play him more. I like some of what Isaiah Joe brings, but yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason he was not playing. He was given enough of an opportunity this year, and he wasn't ready. Now, sometimes in between your second and third year, things pop, and you become a good player. But yeah, I think keeping him around would be okay, but not to rely on it, for sure.
So what I'm hearing from you is that there's one guy that you feel comfortable with in that group that we just talked about, and it's Shake Milton.
Two spots. Like the backup center.
Oh, the Reed Bassey thing, yes. And Shake.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the way. Like, this is, I mean, that was a really dispiriting way for a team to lose a playoff series. Like, that was, you know, after that game four where they came back and played well, that was a team that, you know, one of the teams basically said, if we're going to lose this, this is going to be a 12-round fight. And the other team was not ready for that. And unfortunately, the other team was the Sixers. They just did not have the guys, the culture, the stars that were able to fight back. So I do think you have to look long and hard at some of these role players, and you need, you know, that element of toughness that pretty much everybody on the team talked about. It was crazy in their exit interviews and after the Game 6 loss. That is not normal for pretty much everybody to say, we got out tough. So, yeah, and I think, like, you're almost stuck with some of your players at the top here. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to move Harden. I don't think you're definitely not going to move Maxey or Embiid. So it's got to come from these role players. So that would be the area that I would be targeting.
And so I guess the question is then, you have a lot of work to do. How can you refigure all of this? Because it's a lot to refigure.
It's a lot. And I think, could you be creative? Well, it all starts with Harden's contract. First off, like, what type of price are you getting this guy back for? That's where it starts with. And, you know, mid-level exception, you know, minimum exceptions. Like, I look at guys that are remaining in the playoffs, like, they have to hit on, like, an Otto Porter type for a minimum contract. They have to find guys who are playable for kind of minimum contracts and hope that they can sell them, hey, like, we'll give you, you know, seventh man minutes. six-man minutes. And if there are guys out there, that's what they're going to do. I actually think Daryl Morey might be pretty good at that. Like, I have some faith in him being able to rework the kind of bottom parts of the roster. But you're right. It's a lot of work.
All right, so there's a report out today that Morey is looking to add another star player in some kind of a deal. Have you heard anything about that, and what would that look like?
Well, it's something that's been, you know, whispered about for a long time, and that would be, you know, moving Tobias Harris, which, again, like 2 years and a lot of money left on his contract. We'll see. You know, that has not been a positive value contract around the league for a long time now. You know, now that there's only a couple years left and Tobias, you know, he's starting to play pretty good in the postseason, maybe that changes. But also, you know, the Sixers would pretty much have to give that up. Or, you know, a team would have to be willing to take that on and not get a lot else. Like, the Sixers, they don't have a lot in terms of draft picks, in terms of young players. We just kind of went through that list. So, you know, we'll see. To me, though, Mike, like, if I were running this team, I would not be focused on the top end of the roster. Like, I would be focused on, like, all right, Harden is here, Maxey is here, Embiid is here. Maybe you could move Tobias. But like, Bradley Beal is not, to me, the difference between, you know, the Sixers beating the Heat and, you know, and losing. I just think they need, you know, they need a more well-rounded, deeper team than that. That's just my opinion. I think Bradley Beal kind of overlaps with a couple of your star players, your top four, their skill set. And so I would just wonder who that other guy would be.
It's a reasonable question. We're at their mercy in the offseason, and you know, he said the draft, trying to find a gem in a draft. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, and look, you know, I mean, as you've seen over the past couple of years, he's capable of it. Like, they took Tyrese Maxey with the 21st pick a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I cannot, you know, as much negativity is going on right now, and I think rightfully so, with the way they exited. The fact that they hit on Tyrese Maxey a couple years ago is just a game changer for this franchise. They would have almost no hope around Joel Embiid. So to have a guy who looks like he's going to be a, you know, I don't know what top X player, but he's got a chance to be pretty darn good. So to hit on that player is big. But then you look, you know, last year they took Jaden Springer. Like, you could have had Herb Jones on the Pelicans. That guy can defend and play in a playoff series. So yeah, that they're going to have to hit with some of these later picks. We'll see what happens. Brooklyn can defer their pick to next year. I actually think the Sixers are going to keep their pick this year because Brooklyn wants kind of the uncertainty of, you know, it's an unprotected pick. You know, it's a lightly protected pick. And, you know, Joel Embiid get hurt, you know, all of those things. They're going to have to hit on some of these moves around the margin. There's no question about it.
All right, Rich, Eastern Conference Finals. Who you like? Oh, we lose him? We lost him. We lost Rich. He's the cop. Final question.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.